Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So yesterday I got to spend some time with all my kids, and that was kind of nice when you get to see them. They're all grown up now. They got their own kids. I was looking for a book for one of my grandchildren yesterday. It's called Island of the Blue Dolphins. This came out in 1960, and I remember reading this as a kid. John Newbery wrote this book. I think I read it the first time in 1966, and it was the book that made me want to be a writer and to tell stories. And having six children, I had many opportunities to sit by their bedside at night and read them a story. And it was the standards, the Dr. Seuss type of stories, and Island of the Blue Dolphins, although it was written for children, is way too long to be a bedtime story. But I always enjoyed doing that. Sometimes we would make up stories. What I never got to do is to sit down and write a children's story about them. Our guest today on Addicted to Faith, the Last Storyteller podcast, she's done that. Her name is Jen Simpson, and the name of her book is Eva and the Best Day Ever. Welcome to the podcast, Jen. How are you today?
Hi, Jim. I am well. And thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. You are the first children's book author that I had the opportunity to spend time with. And I'm really excited about it because there's a lot to learn. You know, our audience is a big portion of our audience is made up of indie writers, some of those who may be writing children's books. And we want to discuss all that. But first of all, I want to learn about Eva. And the Best Day Ever, one of your reviews wrote, since reading this book, my son expresses gratitude for even simple experiences by saying, this is the best day ever. What a great thing for somebody to be saying now that you've influenced a child with those words. Eva and the Best Day Ever. So tell us how Eva came about and tell us a little bit about her best day ever.
Oh my gosh, that is just the best kind of feedback to get and really touches me. So Eva and the Best Day Ever is about a little girl named Eva who is very excited about her upcoming birthday. I think this is something a lot of kids can probably relate to, that excitement. And she has a very vivid, adventurous imagination. And so she has all these amazing, incredible, outlandish ideas in some cases of what and how she wants to celebrate her birthday. And she goes to her mom and asks about each one of these ideas. And unfortunately, for different reasons, none of those ideas can work out. And so ultimately, she's disappointed. And her mom has to sit down with her and ask for her trust that her mom can plan a wonderful birthday party for her. And without giving away too much, it is a children's book. So of course, mom does come through, and it is a simple yet very impactful celebration of Eva's birthday. And ultimately, the book is about resilience. It's about expectations. It's about trust. And from the parents' point of view, reading it, I hope they get something out of it too, that we can all relate to having to say no to our children or having to worry about letting them down. So I hope that the book models a wonderful parent-child relationship and how that dynamic can work and how to navigate those very commonplace things that happen in our lives as parents and as children.
You say in your bio that you want to write about life lessons, but make them adventures. And what a
Yes.
that is a first of all, that's very admirable, and it's got to be a tough goal when we start talking about life lessons. Now, your target audience here, other than the adults who are going to be buying the book, we'll talk about that more, of course. But the age range of the children is 2 to 5. Is that correct?
I think it's best for 2 to 5. That preschool, kindergarten age, I think is very relevant for, but I think children as old as 8 or 10 can enjoy it and have enjoyed it. Some elementary school age children have read my book and I've gotten wonderful feedback from them. So I think it can be enjoyed across a broad range. I have so much to say about audience and target audience as a children's book writer. Because as I've gone through the writing and publishing process of children's books, I've really come to appreciate this dichotomy of target audiences that we're writing for. Both the purchaser, the parent who is ultimately, usually up until certain age, reading the story with the child. There is a sitting down together. Sometimes it's a bedtime story. Sometimes it's reading time or quiet time. Those are very important bonding moments for parent and child over a book. And parents are very discerning about the books that they want to read with their children, the kinds of messages in those books, the kinds of lessons for their kids and values that they want to show. And then there's the child, who ultimately is the one that's going to ask their parent to read that book again and again, we hope, as that author, and absorb that message and see themselves in the character or characters within the book and within the story. So I try to really think about that balance and both of those key target audiences. The other challenge you brought up with, like, weaving lessons with adventure. I read a lot of children's picture books with my young children, and sometimes the lessons are very much, in your face, very almost preaching, like, be kind, do this, do that. And I found that my children pick up on how a message is brought to them. And when it's kind of threaded through a story in a respectful way or a way that's very relatable, or through a leveraging their imagination. And so adventure is a really great way to weave in a life lesson. So that's what I try to do, and I hope I've done it with Eva and the Best Day Ever. And I have a couple more books in the works, which I hope do the same. That's kind of the challenges in children's book writing, and I think what makes a difference for the audience.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. With first, I think our children, even at that young age, they are more aware of the world around them when what we want to give them credit for. They can see fake things that maybe they're a little cautious about. They're
Yeah.
more aware of those things. They may not be able to express that to us because they don't understand it themselves, but there's an awareness there, even in storytelling. Now, I remember just making up stories when the kids were real little. There was one, it was about a dog, a Saint Bernard, Bernard Barnyard or something. I can't remember. It's been way too many years. It's been 35 or so years since I did that. But even back then, at that age, they questioned a Saint Bernard living in a barn. I thought, okay, well, we'll put them someplace else. It just sort of sounded good at the time. But they picked up on that because it didn't sound real to them. They knew the stories were stories, but it didn't sound real to them. And
They will hold you to the truth,
yes,
that's
they
for sure.
will. They absolutely
Mine
will.
certainly do.
And on the marketing aspect of it, you're really marketing to two distinct different audiences, the parents and the children. The nice thing about, especially for indie writers, because getting our books into stores, into the bricks and sticks type of place, can be very, very challenging. But if you go into, I'm thinking of Target right now. I'm not promoting any store, but going into Target, they have about 4 foot of retail space, 4 foot by 4 foot of best-selling novels, the stuff that's out right now. They have 32 feet of children's books, right? And they put them right at that right level, that eye level, so that as I don't have any young, even my grandchildren are beyond that now, but I remember walking in there and the kids' eyes would just focus on that. And it was the book covers and the story, some of them they were familiar with, some of them it was just something that attracted them to that. And I'm glad to see that, even though it's not something that I write, but I want to see books out there. I want to see books in the hands of our youngest, right? And that they're still giving that kind of space to it. But it's that cover sometimes that really is going to draw that child in, where the parent, I think, is more concerned about what is this story telling my child. I don't need an author teaching my child something in their face type of teaching, right? It's more of a gentle approach, and I think parents are discerning about that. Some of the stories that we've read about over the last 15 years that have come out that we thought were for children, we find out that's really not a good subject for children. But they're being passed off as children's stories. Now, your cover of Eva and the Best Day Ever was the illustrator is Farheem Fatima. Now
Yes, Farheem.
she's out of Canada. Tell me how that relationship worked out. How did that come about, and was it easy?
Sure. I was looking for an illustrator. I knew right off, I wanted to hire an illustrator and not use any kind of AI generated content in my books. But I also had a really first time indie author budget.
Right.
So that was the challenge. I went on to Upwork, in fact, and I put out a request for proposals for the book. And I received a lot of responses. I interviewed a number of different illustrators who had sent me their portfolios so I could look at their art style and what kind of books that they've done prior. And I gravitated toward Farheen. Her style was simple yet bright, but also adding a lot of playful, sweet elements into the pictures. And I really liked how it would kind of bring the story to life. At the appropriate age level, and give a child who's looking at the page while the parent or adult is reading the book, it gives the child a lot to look at. She really gives like a lot of different elements in the page, which I think really brings the young child into the story. And because there is so much imagination in the book, I was also looking for an illustrator who would go wild with the imagination scenes as well. And so the process was, once we agreed that we would work together and agreed on pricing, we had a contract and a timeline and some milestones for completion with partial payments, including so the sketches and the approval process. And it really became a learn. It was really a learning exercise for me. It was the first time I was going through this process. I've been drawing my whole life. I'm not nearly a professional illustrator. I want to illustrate my own books at some point, but I don't know digital art. I don't know publication process. So I was really using the opportunity to work with someone who was willing to kind of show me into her process a little bit, so that I could learn it. And it was just really nice to kind of go back and forth. For the most part, I let her use her own creative ideas around a particular scene. We had a couple scenes where we would discuss kind of how to tweak it. But it was a pretty smooth process. So I think in that sense it worked out really well, and I think the end product is looking really wonderful. So I'm happy with it and excited on the next book that she's working on for me.
I did get a chance to go to her website and look at some of her work. And she's an incredible artist, no doubt about that.
Yeah,
And it is,
she's
it's
talented.
very, very colorful, eye-catching type of artwork that children will be drawn to every single time. It's just congratulations on getting that. During that process, during that, because you have the story or the manuscript ready for her,
Yes.
you give it to her, and so she is, her creative mind is seeing something that you're telling. You said there was a couple of little tweaks, but when you got the first proofs or pages or illustrations, and you see this little girl, Eva, come to life, what did it do for you when you saw that?
It definitely kind of sparked a little light in my heart. So, I sent Farheen some photographs of my daughter. So the Eva in the story is inspired by my real life daughter, who is also named Eva, of course. And so Eva calls it her book with a like her book. And it is also the story is based on our real lived experience of a party plan, by the way. And so I was actually able to send Farheen some photos of my daughter to inspire the character design of Eva, and as well as a couple scenes from the actual birthday party event to inspire her for the final scenes of the actual party. And then with the manuscript, you're right, I had a full complete manuscript. And then I broke it into pages, or what we would say is a spread. So Farheen does not just one page, but we agreed very early on we wanted the two-page spreads, so that the full opening, the full spread is color and vibrant. And then for each spread, I gave her the manuscript broken out with some prompts, because there were some scenes that I had an idea of what I wanted to hone in on or focus on. And then she took it from there. So that was kind of the process, that seemed to work for us.
So on the Kindle, I like the idea that you just shared with us about the spread. We lose that on the Kindle, right?
It depends how you set the viewer. So what's great about the ebooks, like when you're reading it on a Kindle, you can set it to have the two pages side by side so you can see the full spread.
Ah,
But it's a setting on the Kindle.
you taught me something today. That would be because I'm looking at it on my reader right now, and I don't have time to go in there and make the adjustments. But I will look for that. So, and again, that's for any writers out there right now that are thinking about doing a children's book with illustrations. You do have to be aware of what is it going to look like once it gets out there, whether it's in an e-reader, on paperback, or
Right.
however you're going to do those things that.
And I found that as I've gone through talking with other authors and other genres, that a lot of children's books, they are often do better as paperbacks or hardcovers as opposed to the Kindle. Whereas other genres, they do so well as ebooks in terms
Right.
of sales. And so I was a little surprised. To be honest, I'm just, this was my experience just going into it, that the ebooks don't get as much traction as my paperbacks do. The paperbacks have been doing really well, but the ebooks are slower. And I think it's just that, for kids and parents reading together, that physical book seems to still be preferred.
No,
But
yeah.
yes, maybe the tablets, it'll
Right.
get more
I would agree
tablets.
with that completely. You know, if I was still at the part of my life where I was getting books for my children, it wouldn't be on an e-reader. I'd want them to hold that book. You know, I've loved books for as long as I can remember, and being able to hold that book for your daughter Eva, not for Eva of the book, being able to
Yeah.
hold that book a story about her. How did she, I mean, how was she about this whole process? Was she helping? Was she surprised? And
She'd
you know,
like
when
to think
you
she's
said,
supervising.
right, well, you mentioned that she calls it her book, which I think is
Yes.
really, really great, right?
Oh yes. Well, my 4-year-old is 4 going on 14, I feel like. So she has a lot of opinions about her book. She loves her book, of course, and she knows it backwards and forwards by heart and all of that. When I was working on it, however, she knew the story. Of course, I talked about kind of the plot, but she didn't have the say so. She's 4, so I thought I'd surprise her. But once she got the book in her hands, she was just over the moon. And we did a right after it came out. There's a local nonprofit preschool in our town that did a fundraising event. And as part of the fundraising event, we worked with their director, and they did a reading of Eva and the Best Day Ever on their YouTube channel. And so we watched their YouTube reading of Eva and the Best Day Ever. And I was showing it to my daughter on our tablet, and I didn't tell her that the reading was coming. And then all of a sudden, the director was introducing my name, and the book was open. And my Eva goes, "Mommy, that's my book. That's you." She was just so ecstatic. And so that's ultimately why I do this. And you were reading the review at the beginning of the podcast, from someone whose kid is showing gratitude. And that's just so exciting to me. And that's why I'm doing this. And that's because we don't get rich off children's books, but we get rich here in our hearts.
Yes,
And
yes.
that's why I do it. And when I get those kinds of reactions, it just makes my day and my month.
Yes, and that had to be so exciting for your daughter.
I'm laughing about it now because her reaction was just so over the top excited. It was like I was Taylor Swift or somebody, Anyway, so funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How long did it take you to write the book and get it to the point where it's actually out? And what was the most difficult part of that journey?
So it took me to write the manuscript from start to final edited version about 3 weeks to a month. Like I it there's it's a children's book,
Right.
it's not that many words, but crafting the story and thinking about how to weave in the messages in a impactful way, that took a little time and some tweaks, and then the editing and just editing it needs editing too. And then I found Farheen, I think in the end of August, I think it was. And then the book published, we hit publish on November 18th, something like that. So it took a few months all told. I think in the grand scheme of things, that's relatively fast for a children's book, but not, unheard of fast, but on the faster side to do it in a couple months.
And was there a difficult part, or what a part that,
Oh.
because you mentioned that you mentioned that you want to continue this, and
Yes.
Eva Day Books, Eva Day. I'll cheat and tell everybody that I talked to you before the podcast to find out if it was Day Books or is it Eva Day, because the way it formats on the screen, I couldn't tell for sure. But Eva Day. So, and continuing with her story, are there parts that you learned the first time you think, okay, there's a better way to do this or a different way to do this?
Yes. I mean, there's certain things that I definitely learned through the process in terms of a better way to do it. And one of those is definitely improving how I connect a manuscript to the illustrator's prompts and go through the storyboarding process, because the illustrations and the story really have to be beautifully married, I think. So I learned a lot about that process and how to do it better next time. The hardest part of this whole thing, I'd say the marketing side of it. I feel like a lot of people would say that regardless of what genre they're in when they're indie authors. I probably went into it not fully aware of just what goes into that. I knew I was going to have to market my books, but what did that really look like? And what was going to be effective in terms of marketing? And I started out with the whole, I need a social media presence. You need to have followers. You need to have an email list. You need to be on Facebook and Instagram and Substack and Patreon and LinkedIn and get your followers and get your emails and get a website and, and Meta ads and Facebook ads. And it was very overwhelming. And so, and then on top of it, there's the scammers. So then you get emails like, join our book club. I want to help publish your book. I want to help market your book. And you just going into it as a new writer, a new author, that was so overwhelming. And that made it really challenging. So it's not like the marketing per se, it's just that environment of so much coming at you all at once. And you don't have the experience to know what to focus in on. And so for me now going into this, really the I'm going into it for the second and the third time as my second and third books are now in the works. I feel like I have a better handle on how to focus my marketing energy and how to do it effectively and authentically. And it's really been about when I to stop trying to sell and just be me. I'm a who I am. I'm a single mom. I love my kids. I want to write a wonderful story. I want to carve out my niche. I want to be writing by my style and how I communicate and what I think are really good values that I want to share with my own kids. When I just am me, then I think I get a lot more natural connection with other parents who are ultimately, they are the purchasers of Eva and the Best Day Ever. So when they see authenticity, I think that resonates. So that's number one. And number two, learning how not to try to do everything all at once, but building out a calendar around, okay, here's what I'm going to do this week and next week and the week after that. And where am I focusing my energy? Understanding when it makes sense to like advertise, right? Do paid advertisements and when it doesn't. It makes much more sense for me to go to the local preschools and do a book reading or work with a no local nonprofit in my community because that just naturally is a better fit. And do some sales comps, a handful, right? But I mean, like I said earlier, I'm doing it for me ultimately and for my own, for happiness. And I'm doing it for getting the stories out to the kids. And if I continue to be true to that, then I do well. And I don't feel as overwhelmed. So for me, that's a real, and that's a challenge, a big challenge to go through. And I think a lot of new authors, their first time maybe go through that, something like that. Or maybe I'm the only one who does. I don't know, but that's
No,
what I went through.
you're definitely not, and you shared a whole bunch of stuff there, and that's what it is for an indie author. It's a whole bunch of stuff, and you're thinking,
Yes.
do I? Because there's always, how much do I invest in this beyond my time? Where we're actually talking about where you're investing money into it. Is there any return on that? Is there any kind of return on my value at all? When you get into the social media type of things, you're looking for conversion rates, you're looking at all these different things. You think, oh my gosh, I did all of this and there's no movement at all.
Right. Or you're comparing yourself to somebody else who's got 15 books out and has been building a following for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Absolutely.
It's a very different space to be in. I'm what, 4 months into this, 5 months into this, of course my following is not the same. Of course I haven't built the connections. Of course, people are still learning to trust, and so it takes time. So learning that this is a marathon, and not the sprint to hit publish, I think it's a big lesson to learn, an important one. And authenticity, like it comes back to just be yourself.
It does. And you also mentioned the scammers. You have to be careful.
Ugh,
No doubt
they're
about that.
awful.
They're all I get. And with children's book, I think it is becoming a little bit more challenging because social media with that age range of children is something we actually try to steer our children away from. Right? We don't want them on social media. So it has to be the author. You have to be the face forward, right? And building that as a writer of children's books. And I think there's a lot of ways that you can explore in doing that. I do think that getting into the schools, the preschools, getting in there, making your book a part of their library there, even if it's small amounts, doing the book readings, those type of things. I went to a craft fair not too long ago down in the San Antonio area, and there was actually an author there. I had never seen an author at a craft fair before, and I asked him how he was doing. He wrote the mystical Harry Potter type of stuff, right? And which was the theme of that craft fair too. And he said he was really surprised. He had sold more than 60 books that weekend at that fair. And I
Fantastic.
thought, wow, that's incredible, right? I've got books that have been on Amazon for over a year and I haven't broke 20 books on it, right? So it's finding those type of little niches. And I think in the category that you've chosen to walk into, I think you do have more opportunities than what a lot of writers are going to have. But I think there's also probably some limitations there too, because that targeted market is not as widespread as like a romance market or a thriller market. But at the same time, like I mentioned earlier, you walk into these stores, they got 64 feet of retail space dedicated to children's books because kids still love a story.
I think people do still love to read kids' books. I know it. There's a topic about, our kids reading less and less, but kids are still reading a lot. I'll talk. You brought up a lot of points. I want to talk about kind of the different challenges, and we got talked about different audiences and how to connect on social media. And I don't write fiction, and I don't write like fantasy, so it's hard to know kind of what those specific challenge genre specific challenges are on social media. For the kids' books, so we talked about having sort of these two target audiences, right? There's the kids and their parents, who are the ones who are actually buying the books. So on social media, you really are only reaching your parents' audience, right? Or grandparents, right? Or
Right,
guardians who
right.
are buying the books for kids. So that's who you're reaching. But what's been surprising for me has been that I've also reaching other writers, other children's book writers, other children's book illustrators, other genre writers. Some people write in children's books and other genres. And so connecting with other authors in the indie community has been kind of a surprisingly good part of this experience. I wasn't quite realizing I was gonna make as many connections as I have. And in many of the connections that I've been making, it's been so positive to have kind of this community where we're supporting each other. You do have to sift through, because there's always this initial like, are they real? Are they legit? Are this, but once you
Good.
get through that and you start making these real, authentic connections, then you start to have these conversations. Okay, how can we support each other? What lessons are you learning? We'll have a conversation like what we're having right now. And that's really been a motivation for me to, on the side, I've started a Substack, where I'm writing about my experiences in marketing and publishing and writing. I'm bringing in those connections that I'm making, interviews with other authors, interviews with publishers, interviews with illustrators, from there who have experience to share as well. Trying to sift through some of that noise for new authors, trying to get like what's actually works. What actually to focus on? What's just noise that is distracting? What works, when it works, those kinds of things. That's actually based on experience or based on research, and actual statistics. So that's kind of my side project that has come about from this whole experience. So you just never know where things are gonna go,
Well,
right?
that's exciting. That's exciting to hear. And listen, be sure and send me your Substack info because we'll include that in
Okay,
the show
yes.
notes too.
I'd love to.
Yes, it's doing the same thing. It's helping authors, indie authors or first-time authors. And I remember when I wrote my first book and trying to figure this whole thing out. I did go through a traditional publisher then. And it was even back then, it was so painful to do that. The first and second book were both published. And then after that, I went the indie author route. And so it was like starting the pain all over again, the learning process of that. But because I've been an avid reader since I was a child, I've always loved to read. I never thought about the author, I always thought about the story, about the book. Nowadays, you have to be able to separate yourself. I mean, I didn't know that Dr. Seuss was a real person until I was 35 years old. And I'd seen all of his books. I read all of his books to my kids. And I never thought there's a real person behind this. Once I came into this where I wanted to make a living or at least have fun with it, not necessarily make a living, but have fun with writing, I found there's a whole bunch that's on the other side of that book that we have to learn about. And one of the goals of this podcast is to help other writers, indie writers especially, first-time writers, to navigate that side. What are the things that we've tried and worked? What are the things to avoid? What are the things that we're thinking about doing? You mentioned you've got two more books in the works right now,
Two more in the works.
and to me, that sounds like, oh, this lady's just flat out crazy. She's a single mom. She's out promoting a book right now that's only been out for a couple of months, and she's working on two more. And oh my goodness. But I think that,
Good crazy, though.
well, I was going to say, I think it's a, I wasn't going to say good crazy, but I can go with that. But I think it is a crazy part of a writer to just want to keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And if you make money, you make money. If you don't, that's okay. You don't want to burn a lot of money doing stupid things. And that's what I hope to help writers do is to avoid the stupid things. Because there's a lot of them out there that are stupid. Let me the I don't like to call, I'm not going to call anybody by name, but TikTok is a platform that they'll go and they'll take all your money and tell you they're going to promote these things. And you'll see zero conversion rate. All these views, hundreds, even thousands of views, but zero conversion rate, which means they're not clicking on your book. It does no good. So you got to find other ways. A lot of it is grassroots. A lot of it's getting out to your own bookstores. What part of the country do you live?
I live in Virginia.
Virginia. And it's big town, small town.
We're in the suburbs of DC, but
Okay.
way out the suburbs. So we're kind of a mix, right, of that
Yeah.
city, but like also
Yeah.
country. We have, so I wouldn't say we're a small town, but
Yeah.
you brought up a point around about the person behind the books, right? And when you got into the business of being an author, you realize that there's this whole act, there's an actual human being behind these books and the whole experience that they have. And so that really resonated with me because I similarly, once I started to go through this process of writing a book and trying to, get an illustrator and then trying to publish it and starting to market it and all the things that we've been talking about. like, I was like, wow, there's this huge journey behind this. And, strangers who pluck my book off the shelf have no idea, who Jen Simpson is. If they even read the author's name, they're just looking at Farheen's beautiful cover. And yet there is this journey, and that really is what kind of has sparked this new interest of mine in kind of helping other new authors to the best that I can and sharing our journeys together. So it was also a motivating factor for me to come on your podcast as well, because you have that similar goal, right? To help other authors and to have that supportive community. So that speaks to me a lot.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad. And we are here to sell some books. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna sell some books. We'll put the links to Eva and the Best Day Ever on Amazon in the show notes. Do you have a website also?
I do have a website. It is jensimpsonbooks.com. So
Okay.
I'm sure it'll be linked, but also easy enough to remember. So you can find everything about me through the website, jensimpsonbooks.com.
And do you have, is there a timeline or a date on book number two yet?
So right now I'm aiming for March for book number two. It will not be an Eva Day book. It is going to be a very different topic. Still in my writing style. It is, someone told me 2026 is the year of the horse. I don't know if that's true, but I thought, oh, well, that happens to be fortunate because the book will feature a little horse as its main character and its adventure and the lessons he learns through that adventure.
Great.
Book three will be another Eva Day book,
Yeah.
which is going to come out later, probably this summer.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't
Yeah.
want to do too
Well,
many
be sure and let
promises,
us
but
know.
definitely more is coming.
Yeah, be sure and let us know because I do updates on the podcast when new books come out to let people know that a new book
Wonderful.
has been on there. So is Eva the character, is she going to grow with Eva the daughter, do you think?
I don't know. At this moment in time, the series will probably keep her at the same age across all the books. She does have a little sister, so we'll see what happens with little sister. Let's see how the Eva Day book series goes and
Yeah.
what kind of traction it gets over time, and where this my crazy author journey goes. I have other ideas. I have so many ideas, including as my daughter grows, moving into more of an early reader chapter book or middle grade fiction to kind of grow my own writings and publications with my own daughters. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's great. That is great. And does Eva, your daughter Eva, does she read?
She's desperate to read. She's trying.
Well, Eva the book, Eva the Best Day Ever, is that a book that's going to help children to read?
It's not geared as an early reader.
Okay.
So does it help children learn to read? I hope that it instills that love of reading and brings that foundation. It gives, I think, really great opportunities for adult readers and the child to sit together and talk about story, in terms of ABC. It's
Yeah.
not geared to that, but I hope that it brings that love for reading,
Absolutely.
and that's the
Yeah.
foundation that's important for this age group.
I do remember my children or grandchildren when they were very little sitting down with the book, and I knew they could not read. They were, two, three, 4 years old. But you've read the same story to them, I'm sure, more than once. And it's like they know the story. And they'll tell you the story, and their finger is going along the paper or the page, and it's nowhere close to the words that they're saying, but they take that finger and go along. And I always thought it's cute, first of all, but it's so good that they understand that it's more than the pictures on the page, that there's words on the page, and that's what we want them to remember, because without words, well, none of us would have jobs at all. So we're going to put the links into the podcast, I mean, into the show notes, to get Eva out there and sell some books. If you had to give any advice to someone right now, writing a children's story for the first time, what advice would you give someone?
I would give them the advice. Oh gosh. I would say publication of a children's book is not an easy thing. It's deceptive. You think because it's a short book with simple pictures, it's easy. To do it well, it's hard. So my advice is to respect your readers, both the adults and the children. Respect, give them the respect. As you craft your story, craft your book, the contents of that book, that I think is really important to keep in mind. Just because they're children, they are humans who deserve your respect and your attention and your care. And the second piece of advice would be to stay authentic to yourself. Your values. And that means in the story and crafting the story, how you choose to do your illustrations, how you choose to market your book, what platforms you decide to sell on, your whole approach. I talk about in my Substack a little bit about branding, identity, and that's a very markety term, but I really have benefited from staying true to my brand. My brand is I'm a mom. I write for the children, adventures, blending in the life lessons through daily lived experiences. That's who I am, and that's what I stay true to. And so whenever I'm presented with a challenge or a decision, I come back to that piece. Who am I authentically as a person and my author self? And that really helps guide my choices because they're going to be presented with too many choices. So that really just helps be that guiding star. Who are you
Good
as a person?
advice on both those. Check mark, check mark. It's
Thank you.
funny because you were giving advice as a author, as a writer, but you sounded like a mom.
Well, I am a mom. True to
And
brand.
listen, there is nothing truer than mom's advice. And if you think I'm wrong, well, you're wrong.
Listen to me because moms are always right.
Well, I didn't say moms are always right. I said there's nothing truer than
That's
mom's
what I say to
advice.
my daughter. When my daughter decides to talk back, I have to say, you need to listen to me.
There you go. It's been a lot of fun. Let's go sell some books.
Thank you, Jim, so much. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Well, that was Jen Simpson taking us on the story of Eva and the best day ever. She had a lot of really good information for her. First-time authors, indie authors, on really how to get out there and promote a book. And one of the key takeaways from that interview was talking about a book that you can put in the hands of a child. They already see enough screens. Their lives are filled with screens, and I'm a big Kindle person myself, but putting a book in the hands of a child, well, that's letting kids be kids. And listen, speaking of letting kids be kids, you know what they really like? They love books. They also really like, maybe even love, wearing T-shirts with their favorite Disney characters on it, whether it be from Frozen or movies that stay with us, My Little Pony, Rick and Morty, Frozen, Looney Tunes, all of those things. And you can get them a T-shirt today by going to oldglory.com. Old Glory is a family-owned business. They've been around since 1969. Everything that they ship ships for free. It ships on the same day that you perfect. It's a perfect place to get that gift. Hey, you know what you could do? You could get the T-shirt and wrap the t-shirt around Eva and the Best Day Ever. What a great gift that would be for your kids. Just think about it. They'd love you more today than they did yesterday. Well, I don't know about that, but it's a lot of fun. T-shirts are a lot of fun. Sweatshirts are a lot of fun. All those things are a lot of fun. You can get them at oglory.com. And when you go there, if you put into the promo code area, you put my name, Hirtle, H-I-R-T-L-E, you'll get 15% off your purchase. 15%. And that's exclusive for you. Storyteller listeners, it's just for you. Why would you not do that? Go to oglory.com today. Thank you, Jen, for spending time with us. Good luck on your books. Guys, I got to get back on the road. Look for me. I'll be the one walking down the highway with a book under his hand.